Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to worship this morning. So while we're starting to gather in, I invite you to find your fellowship pads and pass them around and let us know you're here. Then let us take a moment and prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. And let us rise in body or in spirit and join in our call to worship. Christ is our light, our way in the dark.
Come unto the light of Christ.
Christ calls us here to worship and to pray.
Come and answer Christ's call.
Christ leads us forth to teach and to heal.
Come and worship our God.
And let us pray. Light of the world, shine upon us this day. Break through the clouds that separate us from one another, that we may worship you as one body. Guide our steps, that we may walk in your light and live as your people. Amen.
Flaming thunder. morning's Old Testament scripture is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Samuel served the Lord by helping Eli the priest, who was by that time almost blind. In those days, the Lord hardly ever spoke directly to people, and he did not appear to them in dreams very often. But one night, Eli was asleep in his room, and Samuel was sleeping on a mat near the sacred chest in the Lord's house. They had not been asleep very long when the Lord called out Samuel's name. "Here I am," Samuel answered. Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. What do you want?" "I didn't call you," Eli answered. "Go back to bed." Samuel went back. Again, the Lord called out Samuel's name. Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "What do you want?" Eli told him, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." The Lord had not spoken to Samuel before, and Samuel did not recognize the voice. When the Lord called out his name for the third time, Samuel went to Eli again and said, "Here I am. What do you want?" Eli finally realized that it was the Lord who was speaking to Samuel. So he said, "Go back and lie down. If someone speaks to you again, answer, 'I am listening, Lord. What do you want me to do?'" Once again, Samuel went back and lay down. Then the Lord stood beside Samuel and called out as he had done before, "Samuel, Samuel." "I am listening," Samuel answered. "What do you want me to do?" And from the New Testament, we read from 1 John chapter 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. There he met Philip, who was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Jesus said to Philip, "Come with me." Philip then found Nathanael and said, "We have found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. He is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, "Here is a true descendant of our ancestor Israel, and he isn't deceitful." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Did you believe me just because I said that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see something even greater. I tell you for certain that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word.
Good morning. On this weekend where we are celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King and his famous words and the life that he lived, we're sharing a piece called Canon of Peace with very beautiful text that we will sing in a round or a canon. Hope you enjoy this piece.
Mercy. Friends, I invite you to pray with me.
Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
So, I don't know how many of you kind of open up your bulletin and then take a look at everything that you got coming up for you in the morning, or if you just kind of look at it one thing at a time. But did you happen to look at what hymn we're closing the service with? This is the modern language version of it. The hymn name version of it is Are Ye Able? So for the sake of a sermon title, I changed the ye to you, but, you know, same message. This hymn, Are Ye Able?, that I picked for the end of the service, is this very Methodist hymn. It was written in 1926. The man who wrote it was named Earl Marlatt. Now, Marlatt was the son of a Methodist minister, and so in clergy speak, we would call him a PK or a preacher's kid. So, you know, imagine what his upbringing was like. And at the time that he wrote this hymn in 1926, he was teaching philosophy at Boston University. And at the time, BU had built up a new school of theology. So Marlatt was asked to write an original hymn that would be sung at a service to consecrate the new school of theology at Boston University where he was teaching. So this is the song that he came up with. The original title that he put with it was Challenge, and that didn't really stick. The first three words of the hymn were what stuck as the title. And so now we call it Are Ye Able? This hymn has a great Methodist history because it was written by a Methodist PK to celebrate one of our country's most prestigious Methodist-affiliated seminaries. This super Methodist hymn has appeared almost exclusively in Methodist hymnals, to my understanding. We don't see it in a lot of other denominational hymn books. But despite all of that history, none of that is really what makes the song so special, at least not to me. Most of what I just said to you, you can find pretty easily on Google if you're ever curious about this stuff. The reason why this hymn is particular and special to me, and the reason why I picked it for this and to pair with this sermon, is because of reasons that you're not going to find out about on Google. This hymn is really special to me because of a special person. Even though this hymn, Are Ye Able, is very Methodist, and so am I didn't really grow up singing this one. It's kind of on the longer side, the words are kind of antiquated, and it's kind of musically difficult to sing. Forgive me for that when we're singing it. And so because of that, it's kind of not an intuitive choice for a lot of pastors to kind of pick and use in worship. I had never actually sung this one at all until I became a pastor. Serving in my very first church, we picked this hymn and we used it in a worship service just because it was a congregational request. This one lady asked if we could sing this hymn. And the parishioner who asked if we could sing this hymn was this sweet old lady named Vivian. Vivian was sort of the grandma of the church. She had been going there for many, many, many years. Everybody knew and loved Vivian, and everybody wanted to make Vivian happy. She loved this hymn just because she and Marlatt grew up in the same hometown, and she thought that connection was so cool that this was her favorite song. Everybody knew that this was Vivian's favorite hymn every time that we sang it in worship, and it was a small church where everybody knew everybody. So every time this one came up in worship, everyone would go, oh, we're singing Vivian's song again. She must have said something to the pastor. But we sang it in her honor. Viv started to get sick during my first year serving that church, and she was having some heart problems, and then a couple of months later, she passed away. Viv's funeral was my very first solo funeral as a minister, and it was quite the celebration of life. Everybody in town knew and loved Viv. She was very active in serving and doing community service and things like that. And so she had a packed sanctuary for her funeral, which we didn't see very often at that church, like not even on Easter Sunday. For that church, packed was like 150 people. And so, of course, we used Vivian's song in that service to close it. And my strongest memory attached to that hymn is us singing it at Viv's funeral with 150 very loving, grief-stricken people
joining together in four-part harmony to sing this stoic but beautiful hymn. It's one of those things that you had to be there to experience it, but I get chills thinking about it. There's something when that many people join their hearts together to remember and love one person, there's a spark that connects all of our hearts, and it's something that you don't forget. So from week to week here, I can preach about what the scriptures say, and I can preach about things that I learned in seminary and things that I learned in college and things that I learn about in various commentaries that I can share with you. And I intend to do that because, after all, that's what I got the degrees for. But sometimes the most important things that we can learn about our faith and our relationship with Jesus, they're not going to come from any sermon. They're not going to come from any Bible study. They're not going to come from any commentary. They're not going to come from anything like that. Sometimes the most important things that we learn about God that help grow us in our faith are things that we just learn about because of other people. And Viv was one of those people. Sometimes when we know someone who is so solid and so devoted to their faith, that just sort of rubs off on you. It makes you stronger in yours because you know them. It's the kind of person that Viv was. She just sort of effortlessly exuded this faith in God, this incredibly pure, open-hearted, trusting faith that's willing to say yes to whatever God calls for her. And so she just sort of gave that as her gift to all of us. And it was so perfect that this hymn was her favorite because she just very much exemplified what this hymn charges you to do, to be able to say yes to God, no matter what the question is. And in fact, to be able to say yes before you even know what the question is. So Viv had that kind of relationship with me. In our Old Testament reading that we heard a couple minutes ago, the two characters that we hear about there, Eli and Samuel, they kind of have that kind of relationship with each other, where they're teaching each other lessons about faith and how to be stronger in their service of God. For most of their relationship, it's been Eli that has been helping and teaching Samuel. Samuel, at the point of this story, is maybe 10 or 11 years old, so he's still a kid. He's Hannah's son. He is the boy that Hannah prayed that God would cure her of her infertility so that she could have. And she promised God that if she could just have one little boy, that she would give him right back to God and that her son would grow up in service of the temple and he would serve God her whole life. So Hannah kept that promise, and she gave Samuel to the temple for lifelong service as soon as he was old enough for it. And so Eli, this elderly priest, has been taking care of Samuel ever since then for pretty much most of everything. Eli has been raising Samuel in his faith and teaching him about scriptures and teaching him about what it means to be dedicated to the temple and dedicated to God. But what happens in today's story is perhaps the most important thing that Samuel ever learns. He really only learns it just a little tiny bit from Eli. Samuel and Eli are both asleep at night, and Samuel's not that far away from Eli, and Samuel's always got an ear open for Eli because, as the text tells us, Eli's kind of disabled, and Samuel is eager and happy to help him whenever. So Samuel hears a voice, and he assumes that it must be Eli, so he springs right out of bed and goes and wakes up Eli and says, "I heard you call. What do you want?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep, kid." The fact that this happens two more times and Eli is just as patient throughout is just, you know, testament to what it's like to raise a child. It's a timeless thing. It goes all the way back to Old Testament times. But after this happens the third time, Eli realizes that Samuel isn't just hearing things and he isn't just dreaming. He's hearing something that Eli can't. Samuel is hearing the voice of God. He's hearing something that most people around him had never heard. They didn't recognize, but Samuel was hearing it. Eli is really the person that you would think God would call to, the older priest, the one with many years of experience serving the temple, but sometimes God doesn't ask the priest for help. Sometimes God calls to the 10-year-old kid, and for good reason. if you want to know what actually happens after this, like what God says to Samuel, all you have to do is just read the next couple of verses. But I intentionally left that part out because, at least to me, that's not the important part. What God says to Samuel, that's not the important part. The important part is what Samuel does when he realizes that God is calling him. He gets some very good advice from Eli, and he realizes that it's God talking to him. So he eagerly waits for God to call on him one more time. And then when God does, he springs to his feet with just as much enthusiasm as he had when he thought it was Eli. And he says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Totally open heart, complete trust in God, absolutely no hesitation, no reservations. I don't even know what the question is yet, but my answer is yes. That kind of faith, that kind of trust in God. That's what Samuel taught Eli after all of his years of service to God. And this is what Jesus asks us to do, to trust him that way, that we're willing to just say yes and do whatever he asks of us. This is the same lesson that Jesus tries to teach his disciples when he first calls them away from the day-to-day jobs that they had had before as fishers and to be his disciples, his fishers of people. In this story, we learn that Philip kind of gets it right away, but then he tries to ask Nathanael to join and to come follow him because he has seen Jesus, and Nathanael needs to see what Jesus is all about. But sometimes when we get from being innocent, wide-eyed, 10-year-old kid to being a grown-up like Nathanael was, the world gets to us and we get a little jaded and we're not so quick to just spring to our feet and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And this is what had happened to Nathanael. Nathanael's first response to this isn't, "Yes, I'm willing to go." It's, "Jesus is from Nazareth, that little town with Joseph the carpenter. I mean, can anything good come from Nazareth? That doesn't sound very holy to me. I think I'm just going to keep fishing." And Jesus needs to remind him of everything that he stands to miss if he's going to be skeptical of his calling. And that's how it is with us. What we stand to lose by saying yes to God is nothing compared to what we stand to gain. Jesus uses us to do good in the world, for a world that desperately needs good. And the best things that we do for this world happen when we are indeed able. Not just able in terms of the gifts and graces that God gives us that we use to go out and do whatever ministry we end up doing in the world, but the biggest things that we do for the world, the biggest good that we do, happens just in that spirit that we have when we're willing to just say yes. Just in keeping that open heart, that trust, that childlike faith, and embracing the whole world with it and teaching it to other people. Despite your age, despite your world weariness, despite what you've seen and experienced, you can still be pure in heart and you can still be willing and able to say yes to God no matter what he asks. If we keep that attitude, there's no limit of the amount of good we can do. May it be so. Amen.
Oh,
hands, I invite you to receive the benediction. Our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer will guard our going out and our coming in from this time on and forevermore. And as all of God's people, we say together, Amen.
This has been Are You Able? With Pastor Natalie Bowerman from January 14th, 2018. The original title of the famous hymn, Are Ye Able?, was Challenge. Natalie explores the song both in terms of history and personal associations in her ministry. She then adapts the title to challenges of hearing God speak to us through the story of Samuel and Eli. Are we able to hear the voice of God calling us?
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.